Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything we think we know about food. I'm Anthony Zara, and this episode has been made in partnership with Beneo. In this episode, we're looking at how consumer demand is shaping the future of the food industry. There's arguably no other sector that is as tuned in to what its customers want, and delivering on those wants and needs is crucial for any business to survive. But as many of our listeners will know, it's not always a straight line, and that means plenty of adaptation and innovation. The plant-based sector, for example, has seen some interesting recent developments, with some manufacturers rethinking the types of products they produce. So with me to discuss some of the trends and innovations designed to satisfy a complex consumer base are three fantastic guests from the ingredients manufacturer Beneo. Yolene Lambrex is the company's Market Insights Manager. Hello, Yolene.
Hello, Anthony.
Guilherme Santos is Sales Manager for the UK at Beneo. Hello, Guilherme.
Hi, Anthony.
And Peter Caspers is Sales Manager for Meat, Fish and Meatless for the UK and Benelux regions. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Anthony.
It's great to have you all on the podcast. All right, let's start by looking at the state of the plant-based foods market as you see it at the moment. Yolene, maybe we could start with some of the challenges as the market matures.
Yes, well, there are some consumer-related challenges and also some economic aspects, Anthony. Looking at the area of meat and dairy substitution, which is the most well-explored, the more mature plant-based industries, if we take that from the consumer point of view, our research findings are showing that even though the market has really well evolved, there are still a few consumer buying barriers today that the industry needs to tackle. Initially, these are about worries that the taste and texture of these products aren't still quite right yet. And we all know that taste is the very first experience that you have with a product, and that stays really with you. On that note, we've also seen that even when one person in the household likes to give a plant-based alternative a try, they can also bump into the fact that the rest of the family household may not yet be right there with them, so still preferring a traditional piece of meat or even just the usual dairy-based yogurt at breakfast. A real behavioral change, and in particular a dietary one, is very difficult to achieve. And then we have the price element. Price, obviously, is a very important driver as we look at the cost of living today. And here we already see actually some quite positive changes happening with companies, retailers, food service chains. They all make noise now about the fact that their plant-based options are either equal to or less expensive than the animal-based counterpart. So nevertheless, we do know the market is affected by inflation, and we do see some categories like meats showing a bit of a slowdown from their initial boom. But looking at some Nielsen retail data, the UK really does have the second highest plant-based meat sales in Europe. So as long as we can produce products that people like to eat, that taste good and are healthy and competitively priced, there will be a market.
Okay, I think you've touched on some of it there, but what are some of the opportunities then in this sector?
Well, again, through our continuous consumer research, we have been witnessing a clear consumer move towards adopting more plant-based eating habits, and especially the number of consumers who can associate with a flexitarian lifestyle has been growing over the years. We've seen a base of about 24% in 2021 growing to this year about 30%. And these are consumers who are still eating some meat and fish-based dishes, but they do mix it up more often with a vegetarian day. And these consumers are buying into alternatives for a number of reasons. It can be for sustainability, for health, for ethics, or just some more variety. There are plenty of aspects where one could work on, but especially the health aspect seems to be a major topic among plant-based conversations. That's where a lot can be done and where we can come into play. So another point even is that with this growing consumer base, we are also creating an increase in demand for product variation. Consumers today still mention a lack of availability and especially variety. They want to see more and get more inspiration in store to cook more easily plant-based at home. So we really should be looking at expanding the offering outside of the core activities, the core categories, thinking about areas like seafood, ready-to-eat meals, but also desserts like ice cream and chocolate. These are really some of the sectors where we are seeing a lot of innovation at the moment.
Okay, and as the market develops, are food companies, I guess, having to up their game to a certain extent and offer something a bit more special? Yeli, maybe you'd like to answer that first, and then Peter might like to contribute as well there.
Yeah, sure. The plant-based product consumers, they not only like to be considered as health conscious and eco-conscious, they're also foodies. So as I mentioned, we need to keep them excited at all times. And if we expect consumers to really transform their dietary habits, we have to meet them by bringing nutritious and tasty fun food that's good for human and planet. It's really crucial to keep optimizing products, so even those that are selling well today, they need to keep up with the continuous changing consumer needs and interests. One point, for instance, is the indulgence aspects. This is a very strong excitement factor for consumers. And if you look at what's happening on social media, for instance, it's full of food influencers, chefs that are sharing their recipes for desserts and only made with plant-based ingredients. But this area of indulgence, I think it still needs further nurturing, really to come to a wider array of plant-based sweets that can lend also positive nutritional benefits, bridging more the gap between health and indulgence. And I really believe you can have both in one bite. Then on the note of offering something new, perhaps, we also see more often products that combine both animal and plant-based protein sources in a meal. These are the so-called hybrid foods, and it's gaining really attraction. We've also asked consumers about their level of interest for this, and even their likelihood of buying into this new class, let's say it, of alternatives. We reach about 6 in 10 consumers globally, and that's really a lot. So it's an area worthwhile exploring, and it's something we are looking into, how to get the recipes right, matching all the needed criteria of taste, texture, and nutrition, and how to market them so it all makes sense to the shopper.
Okay, Peter, and did you want to add something on that? This idea that food companies need to be offering something even more special now.
Yeah, I agree in the sense that I actually see two different things in the market now. It's one that there is a search for optimizing the nutritional benefits of certain plant-based alternatives as well. So less fat in the products, less salt. This is all a big thing that is going on. And the second thing is carbon footprint. So we see that there is a demand for carbon footprint reduction from customers. And you see that retail is now focusing on this, food service, quick service restaurants are focusing on this. So this need is also there, yeah.
Okay. Beneo acquired the company Meatless around 18 months ago. Peter, can you tell us how that came about?
Yeah, so Beneo actually started a couple years ago working on what we call the functional protein segment. We want to be a key player in everything that is a key ingredient used in the plant-based alternative world. So we started actually a couple years ago with textured wheat protein, coming from dry extrusion with a production based in Belgium. And we see that there is that textured wheat protein has kind of good benefits, especially if you compare it to some other botanical sources. But we also saw a need to extend this portfolio. So we wanted to go in everything that's gluten-free as well. And we wanted to work on fish alternatives. And therefore, we saw an opportunity to acquire the company Meatless. So it's the first acquisition that Beneo ever did. And we chose the company Meatless because they use a totally unique technology if you compare it to the current technologies existing in the market. So they use the technology based on hydrocolloids.
Okay. Tell me about hydrocolloid technology. What is it? How is it different from what else is on the market?
Yeah. So Anthony, probably you already know some existing hydrocolloids, like gelatin is one. This is animal based. So in the production process of Meatless, a plant-based hydrocolloid is used. And this is then combined with a basic raw material, mostly being flour. Mainly we use rice flour, fava flour, or wheat flour. That flour goes into the process with the hydrocolloid, with water and some other products, and then you obtain like a gel type of flake, which has some very unique properties compared to the other technologies existing in the market. Afterwards, the textured flakes are IQF frozen, so therefore they are ready to use without any rehydration step. We also offer some dehydrated products if this is wanted by customers as well. Apart from the uniqueness of this technology, it is also very scalable. And if I then go back to what Jolien was mentioning on what also consumers are looking for, price is still a difficult point when you go to everything that's plant-based substitutes. So if we want to compare to the meat products, to the processed meat products, scalable processes are necessary in the plant-based alternative world. And meatless has a very scalable process.
Yeah, that's a really big issue, isn't it? It's something that's come up quite a lot on the podcast, actually. Another issue that, or one of the big challenges, I guess, that you see in plant-based meat replacements is taste and texture. And Jolien mentioned that in her first answer. So how does this technology address those issues?
Yeah, so it's true. It's still a big topic and a big demand from customers to have an optimized taste and texture and also color. So because meatless starts from flour, it has a very light color, especially if you go with the rice flakes, for example. They are very white and therefore are used in fish alternatives. For example, there are already some plant-based fish fingers on the market using textured rice flakes. But also, we at the Taste of Better event, we presented a full fish replacement, and it got quite some good comments, especially on everything that's juiciness and also on color. So that was quite nice to see. The second thing is actually taste. So again, because meatless starts from a flour, there is not really an aftertaste link to this. You can add other products in the starting mix. But this will like protein, for example, but this will impact your color and it can impact your taste. So if we do this, we always need to go for the optimal balance. We have one item in our portfolio where we went looking for a tuna flake alternative. And there we chose like the optimal combination of proteins and flours used then in this hydrocolloid technology process to obtain a tuna flake. And there we actually achieved like a stronger type of flake, which is higher in protein and also a little bit more brownish in color. So very nice for a tuna alternative. And the third part actually where the meatless flakes are quite unique is that it has a very high water holding capacity. And linked to this, then also a fat mimicking mouthfeel property. So when you, for example, look at plant-based alternatives at the moment, again, focusing on the nutritional demand, you see that a lot of fat is being used because sometimes products from dry extrusion are quite dry. And you need to compensate this with a lot of oil. And there the meatless technology can play a key factor to replace this oil because it has a very high water holding capacity and also the starch fraction inside the meatless product can optimize your the fat mimicking in the mouth. So that's very nice to be used in plant-based alternatives combined with another technology, for example. But also, like Jolien mentioned, the world of meat reduction and hybrid meats. So we see that there is an increasing demand from retail on products that has a low carbon footprint, because sometimes in the strategy of certain retailers or in certain big quick service players, you see that they have a strategy to have X amount of reduction of plant-based protein, of a meat protein by 2025-2030. And the fastest way to do this is actually to reduce just your meat consumption. And inside a meat product, for example, you can include 15%, 20%, 40% of the meatless flakes to reduce this carbon footprint. Meanwhile, also the meatless flakes will optimize meat products in a sensoric way, so the juiciness will be higher due to the high water holding capacity. Also, to optimize meat products, meatless can play a key benefit in the sense that it optimizes as well on a technical property. So if you include 15%, 20% or 40% of meatless flake inside of your meat application, your juiciness will be higher due to the high water holding capacity and again this fat mimicking mouthfeel property. So you will reduce your carbon footprint and meanwhile optimizing your sensoric profile of your meat application, which is actually very nice. And also the labeling for this application is very nice. So if you label the meatless products, you actually only need to label rice flour, fava flour or wheat flour. So labeling wise, to go into processed meats or in any other plant-based alternatives, the labeling is very, very beneficial.
Okay, great. You mentioned the Taste the Better event, which is a Food Matters Live event held earlier this year, and Beneo were there and showing off some of your products. And I just wanted to bring in some of the feedback we had. So this was somebody who tasted the fish substitute, a manufacturer currently producing plant-based products for a popular UK high street. We won't mention any names, but the direct quote, much, much better than others I've tried. And we also heard from a supplier to a UK supermarket. Great to hear about the development of new food concepts from plant-based sources, such as faba beans, rice, and others. So I'm guessing that's the sort of feedback that you're used to hearing, but also you're probably quite pleased to hear as well.
Absolutely. We're very pleased to hear this, yes. Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay. So, Peter, let's stick with you for a while. So what other possible applications are there for the hydrocolloid technology?
Yeah, so there is still a lot to explore in this world and with this technology. But what we did now was combining it actually with another technology. So in this case, I'm going to talk about the combination with mycoprotein. So meatless is actually still kind of a very innovative company. It still has this startup mentality that if it's with a small R&D team, if they have an idea, they can quickly take a small idea into like a big idea with big proportions and make an industrial process out of it. And so this is what happened actually with the new invention, the chicken chunks, which is a combination of the meatless technology, then based on a pea protein as starting material, combined with mycoprotein. So we served this at the Taste of Better event. We served a chicken thigh alternative, combining then these two technologies. And looking at the feedback, I think we succeeded in producing a chicken chunk that looks like chicken, that has a very neutral taste, so you can easily flavor it to also taste like chicken and still have the juiciness of the thigh meat of the chicken. So we received some very positive feedback from this. And this is also the first time that we enter actually a new market for us then. So we enter the market of the semi-finished products, meaning we supply these chunks, IQF frozen, to the customers. They are only minimally flavored inside the core, because about flavor, you can debate all night long. But the only thing the customers need to do is spice it, marinate it, tumble it, fry it, cook it, however you like it. And then it's ready to be used in ready meals, in sandwiches, or in any other application. We are also working actually on beef pieces and minced meat using this technology. This is not ready yet, but we aim to have this ready by the end of the year. So I hope you all stay tuned for more.
Absolutely. Well, I certainly will be. Okay, let's look at cheese then. So cheese has traditionally been one of the more challenging products to imitate without dairy. And you very kindly sent me some. So I've got a little green lunchbox here, which I'll pop open. And inside is a packet of plant-based feta cheese. So let me grab my scissors. I'm going to open this packet here. And already I can see that the shape of it's as you would expect. There's the sort of liquid around it that you get with feta in the packaging. Give that a smell. Okay, I'm going to pop this out now. And I'll cut a piece off. So, I mean, it cuts like feta. It's nice and moist, as you expect feta cheese to be. Tell me a bit about the process of how you've managed to achieve that. I don't know who wants to answer this question, but what's gone into making that product feel the way it feels? It even looks like feta. You know, it sort of breaks up in my fingers in the same way that feta does. Excuse me. How have you managed to achieve that?
Well, to achieve a feta-like texture, we had to combine our three ingredients platforms. We are using rice starch to create a creamy and indulgent texture. The sugar root fibers were added to mimic the properties of dairy fat. And finally, we are using our fava protein concentrate for both structure and emulsifying properties. And of course, what is really interesting here, it's the synergetic effect between these ingredients.
And how important is it when you're making a product like this, that the, as well as the taste, that the way it feels and the way it looks mimics dairy-based feta cheese?
I would say that the most challenging part of mimicking this texture is really like working on a healthy and clean label ingredients. So in this case, we are not, let's say, using any like fat that it could compromise our nutritional profile. So I think that's on top of the texture experience, I think also it's quite healthy and clean label recipe.
Okay, lovely. And can you talk us through some of the applications for this product then?
Well, we recommend using our feta-type cheese for salads and cold dishes, but it can also be pan-fried for a crispy texture in warm dishes as well.
Lovely. Well, it's very delicious. I'd look forward to having it in a Greek salad or something like that. Okay, all right, let's get back to the insights then. So, Yolene, how high do health concerns rank among consumers' main concerns?
Yes, well, the interest in health management, it was absolutely sparked by the pandemic. And we do see that this heightened interest keeps having a big influence on consumer preference today. Next to usual taste and texture experiences, consumers are very much appreciative of food and drink that do align with their nutritional objectives and so help create a positive impact on personal health. And with the plant-based diet being considered as nutrient-dense and full of vegetables, it makes absolute commercial sense to address those positive points on pack. So yes, we do expect an uptake in more explicit health statements, not only to meet the consumer at certain needs, being it a need for more protein or less calories, but we also help distinguish our customers like this on the shelves. And we do have different naturally functional ingredients in the portfolio that can make that happen.
Excellent. And Guilherme, as well as what customers want, does increasing pressure around the regulation of foods which are high in sugar play a role here?
Sure, the new regulations in the food industry can raise awareness about harmful ingredients. However, it's a long journey. I believe that consumers are getting more nutritionally educated while these new regulations are being implemented. So it's a work in progress, let's say.
Okay, all right. Well, look, it's my lucky day because I get another taste test here. So I'm going to open up this and I'm going to try one of your muffins. So I can get it open. And this is perfect because we're recording this at 8:30 in the morning UK time. So this is exactly what I need to get my day off to a good start. And they've even come in lovely little muffin holders. I'm very, very decorative. Okay, so I will open this up and let me have a taste. Mmm. Very nice. Very moist. And I would say very sweet. So Guilherme, how have you managed to get the sweetness in there? And how difficult is it to replace sugar in a product like this?
Well, it depends on the level of sugar reduction. But using oligofructose makes it quite simple. The chicory root fibers can act as a bulking agent and also restore some sweetness since it has 50% of sucrose sweetness levels. So for a 30% sugar reduction, we don't need any other technologies such as flavor modulators or sweeteners to achieve like great results.
Okay. All right. And just carrying on what's turning into be a great morning, I've also been sent some milk chocolate. And this says on the back 30% sugar reduced. So I'll open this up. And get that out. So I get to have cheese. I've had a muffin and now some chocolate. Mm. And again,
It's a great taste. It tastes sweet, but there's a whole lot less sugar in it. We've spoken about taking things away with the sugar, but let's talk about fiber, because as well as reducing sugar, you're increasing fiber with your products. So this isn't just about taking stuff away, Guilherme.
Yeah, so replacing sugar with fibers is a double benefit. It removes negative points from the HFSS equation and also adds positive points for fibers. It's a great win for the consumers. And on top of that, it also helps with lower calories.
And just finally, then, looking to the future, which recent developments at Beneo are you most excited about right now?
We are quite excited about our fava bean concentrate. This ingredient provides technological advantages such as outstanding emulsifying properties and support our customer sustainability challenges. We are manufacturing this protein concentrate via dry fractionation process, which makes it a water-friendly ingredient, what is not the case for isolate proteins, for instance. So we are looking forward to collaborating with our customers to explore all possibilities with fava, especially with egg replacement, where it seems to work quite well.
Fantastic. Okay, well, we look forward to hearing more from Beneo in the future. But for now, Yolene Lambrex, Guilherme Santos and Peter Kaspers, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony.
Our pleasure, Anthony.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode made in partnership with Beneo. If you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. And remember, if you enjoy the Food Matters Live podcast, you can subscribe via your preferred platform. Thank you so much for listening.